Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. Here's a quick announcement. Our April heart-centered and passion-driven Inspirations for Better Living digital magazine designed to help moms build a better future for themselves, their families, and loved ones is now live at inspirationsforbetterliving.com. April's theme is the magic of springtime. The magazine offers inspirational stories from our dedicated team of experts to help you navigate your current situation with confidence in your motherhood journey as the COO, if not the CEO, of your family. So please go to inspirationsforbetterliving.com to treat yourself to some engaging, entertaining, and enlightening stories. You deserve it. As for our kitchen table conversation today, my guest is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amy and I will be talking about their latest release, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Me and My Cat, 101 Tales of Feline Friendship. Good morning, Amy. Happy Wednesday and welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing today?
I am great. I'm so excited about this. I think it's just so incredibly pretty, isn't it? I love the cover with the white cat with those brilliant blue eyes and then the blue we have behind it. I think it's just going to jump out at people from the store shelves.
Oh, it's amazing. What I love about it is that it's wonderfully entertaining, hilarious, and inspiring read. So that's a very powerful book from that same point of view, and not to mention the cover. It just melts your heart. Congratulations.
Yeah, it does. And our cat books are really, really popular because they really – bring out like the humanity in a cat, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. they make it so clear that a cat, you know, is a member of your family and has all of these valid emotions and can really help you as a person. And I mean, even though the stories are about cats, you know, unlike our other books that are stories about people, you know, it's the same thing. They have these incredible personalities and that makes for stories that are compelling and really reach inside you and make you feel something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So true, so true. Well, please tell us a little bit more about Chicken Soup's wonderful partnership with the American Humane, the benefactor of this book's royalty.
We love American Humane. It's the oldest animal welfare organization in the country. I think it's 150 years old or even older than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been around forever. And American Humane has a mission that includes not only protecting pets like dogs and cats, but also protecting animals used in farming, in movies and television shows. They have a program where they certify humane zoos and aquariums. And we work with them a lot, and if there's like a disaster somewhere and, you know, a wildfire or a hurricane or something where pets have to be moved and sheltered before they're reunited with their families or maybe moved to new families if their former families can't take them anymore, we give them, you know, our dog food and our cat food to help feed those animals while they're in the care of American Humane. I mean, they do so many wonderful things for animals. And I've learned so much from working with American Humane about shelters and mm-hmm. Just like the plight of all the dogs and cats that are sitting in shelters. I mean, they've really focused me on how we should be going to shelters, you know, as a first choice looking for a new pet or a reputable breeder if you really have to have, you know, a pedigree dog, but not going to these non-reputable breeders that just churn out the puppies and the kittens and they come out, you know, very unhealthy and their mothers are, you know, abused horribly. So we've been supporting American Humane with royalties from our dog and cat books, probably for more than a decade. I mean, maybe we've already done 7 or 8 pairs of dog and cat books that benefit American Humane. So we really love them, and it helps drive us to put out more of these books about cats and dogs, which are so popular anyway.
That's wonderful. Well, one of the things I recall growing up with cats and dogs, and you're right about the concept of like, well, let's go to a breeder to get the so-called perfect dog, perfect cat. But I think somewhere along the line, you're getting the right animal, the sort of love from the shelter. Much better, much, much better.
Everyone says that when they adopt from a shelter, it seems like that animal is especially grateful and knows mm-hmm. that it's been rescued, and it actually creates a different kind of relationship. So I think that's really interesting. I mean, in my family, I have one grand dog that was bought from a very reputable breeder, and then mm-hmm. I have two grand dogs who were adopted at shelters. And actually, it's interesting. The two that were adopted at shelters are both purebreds, but one of them was born with, like, birth defects, and so it was always a very funny-looking example of a pug. And then the other, I think, must have been, like, released maybe from an elderly person. I don't know, because the dog was, like, 40 pounds overweight. Like, the dog looked like a pig in the beginning. It's an Australian cattle dog, and
I used
to call this thing Wilbur the pig because it was so gigantic, but now he's, like, slim and, you know, he looks great. Like, it took about a year to get him into shape. Everybody says that the animals they get from shelters are somehow especially fond of their human owners and devoted to them. And I don't know. Then they'll say, though, even though I rescued my cat really rescued me. You know, it always works that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So true. Well, what makes a person a perfect cat owner?
Well, you need a lap. Right? Unless it's like a farm animal. You know, if you have like a barn cat and its job is to eat all the mice, of course the barn cat's very happy with that and has a nice place to sleep. So, you know, that's a little different. But if it's a cat that's in your home, you know, you need a lap because they love to cuddle. You need to be responsible. I mean, the most heartbreaking thing is when somebody goes and adopts a kitten and then gives it back when it's a full-grown cat. You know, like, that's just terrible. I mean, you're signing up for all the phases of this cat's life, you know, so you need to be responsible, respectful of the cat as, you know, a fellow creature on this earth. You have to treat it as a full-fledged family member, right?
Mm-hmm.
But cats are pretty low maintenance. I mean, it's a much bigger deal when you go and you get a dog because they require so much more. You have to either sent in the property, you have to, or take the dog on walks. You know, cats are so much easier. They don't even have to go outside. In fact, of course, a lot of people say don't let your cat go outside because we actually have a deficit of billions of songbirds in this country because people let their cats go out, don't put bells on them, and the cats go and kill birds because they are very good hunters.
Very, very interesting. Well, here's the million-dollar question. Do cats choose their owners?
Oh, yes, all the time. we hear about that all the time, that, you know, someone goes to a shelter and there's a cat that, you know, hissed at everybody and then sees this one particular human being and, like, rushes to the front of the cage. It puts its paw out and is purring, and, like, they are obviously meant to be together. Or, you know, a stray cat comes and like, makes it known to a family, this is my home now, I am with you. And the family that maybe didn't want a cat, all of a sudden discovers they are thrilled to have this cat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely a meant-to-be aspect to cat ownership.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really wonderful. Well, I know we talk about the book cover. I love it. Please tell us a little bit more about the inspiration behind it and the various photos for the chapter lead pages. They are beautiful as well.
So because it's called Me and My Cat, I wanted the cover photo and all the interior photos to show a human with a cat. And so that's what I did. So on the front cover, you have hands holding that adorable little kitten. And then before the beginning of each chapter, we had a photo of a person snuggling with a cat so that we could show this very close relationship. And we have children, we have men, we have women, we show everybody with their cats.
I love it because it really adds the human touch to it. Like you say, before you know it, it's that sort of like that feeling with family. And that's what it's all about. if you want to own a pet, they're family.
Yeah, they are, absolutely. And they know who they want to be with.
So true. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading Me and My Cat?
Well, I think there are multiple purposes. So if you're just a person who already loves cats, you know, I'd like you to just have a very enjoyable time reading this book, because I always want our books to be entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I always want our books to give you the same kind of reading enjoyment that you might get from reading a fabulous novel. Because our books, even though they're nonfiction, they are stories. This is all about storytelling. You know, and so these are the same kinds of stories that you would hear from somebody, you know, standing on a stage and telling you a great story that happened. Or you would be sitting with a friend over coffee and your friend would lean in and tell you a great story. So I want people to get a great read from Me and My Cat. Also, I want them to walk away thinking, huh, I guess I'm over the loss of my cat. I'm going to go get another cat now, and I'm going to get it out of shelter. And I'm going to consider getting an older cat instead of a kitten, because the older cats get left behind at the shelters. Or I'm going to get a black cat, because those get left behind at the shelters. So there's a lot of different lessons you could come away with from this book. And I think the different lessons will apply to people who are at different stages of their lives with or without
mm-hmm.
cats.
Mm-hmm. So true. That's very, very true. Well, let's jump into the book. I love the overall, like I say, look of the book. It's fascinating. Let's start with this wonderful story in chapter two, which chapter two, by the way, is Miracle Happens. And the story is Dr. Christmas by Angela Rollman.
So Angela Rollman tells us that she was only 9 years old. And basically she had decided that her mother was a murderer, because her mother had taken their cat, who wasn't very old, to the vet, because the cat was very ill with a bladder infection. And the vet had said that the cat needed an expensive operation, which might not even work. So Angela's mom had reluctantly told the vet to put the cat to sleep. And Angela couldn't believe it. I mean, she hadn't even had the chance to say goodbye to her cat. And it was right before Christmas, which somehow made it seem even worse. And this cat had been really good for Angela. Angela was a shy little 9-year-old. She was overweight. She was bullied at school. She was really struggling. And her mom had gotten the cat to make her feel better. And it had definitely worked. She had really bonded with the cat. They were best friends. The cat slept with her every night. He would lick away her tears when she was, you know, telling him her secrets about missing her father because her parents were divorced, or being bullied at school. Well, anyway, a few weeks after they lost the cat, Angela got a phone call from the vet. The vet called and said, I decided to give Tiger the operation for free, knowing how much he meant to you. And the vet said that the cat was going to recover. But operation had worked, and he was actually ready to be picked up. And so Angela got to spend 12 more years with her wonderful cat. And so that was just a really heartwarming story.
It's a beautiful story. Amy, you hit it right on the nose in terms of we adults may not connect as well with pets. We think we do. You know what I'm talking about? But kids, I mean, it's there. It's the buddy, true buddy. And it makes a big difference. It's very, very empowering.
True. And kids will confide in their cats or their
right.
dogs. They'll whisper their secrets to them. Because they often just don't know what they can and can't reveal to their parents.
Precisely. Yes, yes. So true. Well, chapter three. Love this. It's really funny. It's a beautiful chapter. My very good, very bad cat. And let's start off with The Ghost of Turkey's Past. By Joyce Layer.
This is such a funny story that Joyce wrote. This is one of my favorite, you know, funny mm-hmm. holiday stories ever. So Joyce Layer tells us that her family always had a big roast turkey dinner for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. You know, all they did was change the desserts depending on which holiday it was. But one Christmas, Joyce had put the turkey in the sink, you know, to, like, soak in, like, salty, cold water. it was a really big turkey, so only half of it was in the water at any one time. You know, and Joyce was walking into the kitchen to flip the turkey over to soak the other side when she heard her three daughters screaming. And they ran out of the kitchen shrieking to their mom that the turkey's ghost was there and it was chasing them. So Joyce and her husband ran into the kitchen, and they found this dead turkey hopping around in the sink like it was alive. So Joyce's husband approached this bouncing turkey and tried to grab it, and it slipped out of his hands because it was 30 pounds, and it bounced onto the floor, and then it continued jumping around on the floor. I mean, this is a turkey that you would buy at the store. Like, it was jumping around like it was alive. So the little girls were still screaming, and now their two dogs were barking and trying to attack this dancing turkey. And Joyce pushed the dogs and the girls back into the living room and, you know, held them at the doorway while her husband tried to control this giant, bouncing, dead turkey that was somehow alive on the kitchen floor. Well, finally it got wedged into a corner, and there it bounced up and down, but at least it was stuck in one place. And then this little black thing poked out of a hole in the turkey, and then a set of whiskers and a paw, and they realized it was their cat. He had climbed into the sink, and he had climbed inside the turkey carcass, and he was eating the inside of it, and then he got stuck inside it, and he couldn't get out, and so he started jumping around in panic. And the turkey was so big, nobody could see the little cat was stuck inside it, even when it fell on the floor and it kept bouncing around. So I just want to laugh out loud every time I read that story. Anyway, after that incident, they switched to roast beef instead of turkey.
Hey, that's a great motivation. I'm just kidding. I love the story. Really, really wonderful. Do you have another story in this chapter that you like? Being that it's really funny, my very good, very bad cat.
Yeah, so we have another story that I really liked. It's by Kathleen Gamble. Mm-hmm. And that's actually her cat. She was taking care of her neighbor's two cats while her neighbor was away. And one day she was over at the neighbor's condo, and she was putting the food out when she heard this loud meowing that seemed to be coming from behind the stove. And so she worried, oh my gosh, what if one of the cats like crawled behind the stove? What if it's stuck in the wall? Like, she couldn't see it anywhere, but the sound had come from the wall. And then she tried calling her neighbor's cell phone to ask her what she should do. But she went to voicemail, and then it said the voicemail was full, so she couldn't even leave a message.
Mm-hmm.
So she called the fire department. And they said they didn't have any real emergencies at that moment, so they would send someone. So then 15 minutes later, Kathleen heard this meowing sound again from inside the wall. And then the fire department came. And then she got distracted because the firemen were really fit and handsome. She couldn't stop staring at them. But anyway, she tried to focus. And while the firemen were there, they heard the meow again. And they agreed that, yeah, it sounds like it's coming from the wall. And they talked about opening up the wall to get the cat out. But they said they'd need permission from the owner. And, of course, they couldn't reach the owner because her voicemail was full and she wasn't answering her phone. So they put kibble in the cat's food dish and shook it so the cats would hear the sound because they thought maybe the cat that was stuck inside the wall would come out, however it had gotten in there, come out the same way. And then they heard another meow, but it was coming from behind them, and they turned around, and there were two cats standing there, both of the neighbor's cats. But then they didn't know, well, what's trapped inside the wall? How is there a third cat? And then one of the firefighters looked at the wall over the stove, mm-hmm. and it was a clock that was like a cat lover's clock because it had a picture of a cat, you know, at each of the hour places, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, like 12
right.
pictures of cats. The firefighter took the minute hand and moved it to the next quarter hour. And sure enough, it was like a cuckoo clock. The clock went meow, and the mystery was solved. There was no cat in the wall.
Oh, that's so funny. That's a good one, see? Wonderful. That's really beautiful. Love it. Totally love it. By the way, you're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podtail, Play FM, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, and Hophopper. I'm Johnny Tan, your host, and here's a quick reminder to treat yourself to our heart-centered and passion-driven Inspirations for Better Living digital magazine at inspirationsforbetterliving.com. April's theme is the magic of springtime. My guest for today is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. This morning's Kitchen Table Conversation is about their latest release, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Me and My Cat, 101 Tales of Feline Friendship. Amy, chapter 5, this is awesome. What I learned from the cat. And I think sometimes coming back full circle against it's the cat that saved us rather than we saving the cat. And so it's just a wonderful chapter, what I learned from the cat. And the story is O. Henry by Barbara Alpert.
So Barbara thought she was seeing a miracle happen with a cat. So there were two feral cats that lived in their neighborhood in Florida. And by accident, Barbara and her husband became their caretakers. They put out food and water for them every day. And they were still outside cats, but it was Florida, so that was okay. But now these two feral cats really were part of the family because they had even let Barbara and her husband catch them and take them to the vet to get them spayed and neutered. So they were there for a few years, and then another cat showed up. And they felt bad for him because he was really tired and hungry looking, and he had a scrawny body. So they started feeding him. So now they had three feral cats. But this one wouldn't show up for days at a time. And while the other two never left their property. So the other two really were part of their family, but this one was more independent and, you know, came and went. Well, then this cat showed up one day and he was wounded. And, you know, there was nothing they could do about it because he wouldn't let them help him. Then he came back 2 days after that and his open wound had miraculously healed. Barbara just couldn't believe it. Then he disappeared again for a while, and then one day came back again. This time he was limping. It was so bad he couldn't even put any weight on that leg. So they gave him food and water, but they couldn't catch him to take him to the vet. And then one morning he returned again, and this time without the limp. So it was another miracle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then one morning Barbara's husband said, "Hey, that third cat is at the back, is in the backyard waiting for food." And Barbara called through the house to him and said, "No, I have cat number 3 at the front door." And that was when they realized that all that time they had been seeing two identical feral cats. They had two different cats that they thought were cat number 3.
It's a beautiful story. Wonderful, wonderful story. What I love about it is that it engages them in a different way. Very, very caring and so forth. And that's the beauty of that. I mean, given the opportunity, the best of us rolls out.
That's true.
And do you have a story in this chapter that you like?
Well, this is another story about taking in a cat that's injured, mm-hmm. except this is really horrendous. It really is. Because the situation that this poor kitten was in. So, Penny Porter tells us the story, and she said that going by this kind of smoldering garbage dump, and they heard a cat, like, meowing inside there, and they looked at the smoldering, like a garbage pit, and all of a sudden, this cardboard box, it caught on fire, and then it exploded, and shooting out of it was a little kitten that was on fire. It was just horrendous. I don't know if the cat, I don't think the cat was left there. I think the cat probably like went in to like explore the garbage dump and then got caught because this box had wires in it. But I don't know how the cat came to be there. But anyway, came shooting out when this box caught on fire. And actually that was the last time they ever heard that cat make any noise. So she came out burning. They didn't think she was even alive. But then she crawled toward them, and she was in agony. And they took her back to their ranch, and they looked her over. It was terrible. She had blisters all over her body instead of fur. Mm. Her paw pads had burned off. Her claws were gone. Her tongue was burned. And she couldn't even drink because her mouth was so injured, so they had to give her water with a dropper. And her tail and her ears had been burned, really burned off. So they called her Smokey, and they decided they were going to help her live, and they started putting aloe on her burns. And they used up a whole aloe plant over the next 3 weeks. But she made it. She was alive. But one big problem was that Penny's husband, who didn't even like cats, smoked a pipe and used a lighter all the time. So he would flick the lighter, and the cat would completely freak out when she saw the flames. You know, she would just panic and knock things over trying to get away. But over time, he knew not to show fire to her, and they grew comfortable with each other. And in fact, he became her favorite human, even though he, you know, was kind of like pretending he didn't like the cat. So he was like, no, this is the ugliest cat in the world. And one day, this woman showed up, this busybody who thought she was doing a good thing, and she said, like, a lot of us have noticed this injured cat that you've been keeping, and we think it's cruel, and you should put the cat out of its misery, which was a horrible thing for her to say to them. The cat was doing fine, and they had saved her. And then the funny thing was the cat went behind, you know, one of those rectangular glass fish tanks, and it magnified her. And so when you saw the cat through the fish tank, she looked like this gigantic, terrifying, blackened, hairless creature. And so the busybody, who was well-meaning but, you know, wrong, she quickly escaped their house. Anyway, then the cat grew back her fur. She grew white fur. She had bright blue eyes, like on the cover of our book. Mm-hmm. And she stayed best friends with Penny's husband, and she would accompany him in his truck as he drove around the ranch. But then one day, by accident, he lit his pipe, and he lit some dry grass in one of their pastures. And so he put the fire out right away, but the poor cat must have been terrified, and she jumped out of the truck and ran away. And 2 weeks later, they still hadn't found her, and they thought that she was dead. But that cat was so resilient. She survived that, too, and they finally found her after 2 weeks. They were still looking for her, and after a rainstorm, they found her wet and shivering. But then the poor little kitten, who was now a cat, turned out that her heart had been damaged, you know, back when she was burned at the beginning. And so her heart just gave out when she was just about 4 years old. But still, those were 4 years she wouldn't have had if they hadn't rescued her. And so I just thought that was a really sweet story and really showed, like, the kindness of humans rescuing the cat and then the remarkable resilience of that little kitten.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful story. That's the kind of thing that, again, it's very subtle, but yet it's extremely inspiring and empowering. Love it. Totally love it. Chapter 6. Hey, this is what we talk about. We're all family, right? Chapter 6, we are family. The title of the story is Just Right by Sue Mitchell.
Yeah, this is a great example of a meant-to-be story. You know, we talked about that earlier. So Sue Mitchell was a little girl, and she wrote a letter to Santa. And her mom knew about the letter because they mailed it together at the post office. And she thanked Santa for his gift the prior year, and then she said that if it were possible, she would like a cat this year and that she would be responsible and she would feed it and brush it every day. And then on Christmas morning, what did she find from Santa but this big box? And inside it, there was a cat litter tray and cat litter to put in it. There were boxes of dried and canned cat food. There was a bowl. There was a water dish. There was a cat collar with a jingle bell. That jingle bell is good because it stops that cat from killing birds. There was a stocking filled with cat toys. There was even a brush so she could brush the cat every day. And there was a big cat bed. But there was no cat. And Sue started to cry. And then her mom said, no, look, what, there's an envelope. And Sue opened it, and she found this note from Santa. And the note said, couldn't put your cat in my sack because he would get scared. But he's waiting for you at the shelter. So you go to the shelter and you will recognize him. So Sue went to the shelter the day after Christmas, and there were a lot of kids there. Apparently Santa had sent a lot of kids to the shelter to get their cat. But Sue's cat was very obviously waiting for her. He was an older cat, and he was cowering at the back of his cage and was hissing at anyone who came near him, except that when Sue got there, he limped out of the cage and he climbed into her lap and he began to purr because it was meant to be.
Right. It's a beautiful, loving story. I love it. Totally love it. Chapter 9, this is interesting, right? We always talk about the purpose. So, A Cat's Purpose, Ready or Not, by Dawn Truesdale.
So, Dawn got the perfect cat, too, also from her mother, although Dawn was 28 years old, not a little girl. But in her case, her mom was leaving New York to move to a retirement community in Florida with her boyfriend. So, her boyfriend was allergic to cats. So, a few days prior to their departure, her mom had like a combination farewell and birthday dinner. And there, Dawn was informed that she loved her mother's cat. So Dawn was like, I do. I love your cat. And then it was obvious where this conversation was heading because Dawn was going to have to take her mother's cat because her mother couldn't take the cat. But Dawn lived in an apartment building where you weren't allowed to have pets. And her mom said, well, I could take her to a shelter, but I don't think you'd want that for her. So Dawn gave in and said, fine, I'll take her. And then they had to sneak her into Dawn's apartment building, which her mom had already figured out how they were going to do that because she knew that Dawn was going to say yes. And Dawn ended up loving having that cat. You know, it really was another example of meant to be.
Yes, it's wonderful. Well, do you have a beautiful story in chapter 10 to close out the book?
Yeah, this was a chapter about when your cat dies, because, you know, people really need to write about that to express their feelings, and people really need to read those stories, too, because it's so traumatic when you lose a pet, right? Well, here Julie Steelster tells us that she was devastated when her cat, Basil, died. He was 12. He had cancer. But she decided she would do all the rituals that you would also do if you lost a human loved one. So she made a coffin for Basil from a computer box and a soft towel. And then she sat next to him. And then the next day, she buried the box and she put plywood over it to protect it from coyotes. Then she marked the grave. And then she said, you know, I realized that I had performed these like, ritual duties, and it really helped me a lot with my grief. And we even started that story with a quote from Deborah Norville, who, you know, I've worked with a lot on Chicken Soup and Soul books because she's been my co-author on a lot of the books. So Deborah had said this, there is a comfort in rituals, and rituals provide a framework for stability when you are trying to find answers. And, you know, Julie says she learned the power of ritual from doing these things for her cat. And I remember, like, when my stepdaughter lost a cat a few years ago, I sent her flowers because you want to honor the loss as if it were the loss of a human. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Losing a cat is a member of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I put that story in that last chapter of the book to show people that it's okay to go through the same rituals you would go through if you lost a human loved one. And also for readers to read that if they haven't lost a cat but somebody they know has, that they should treat that loss with the same respect, you know, and the same sympathy that you would treat the loss of a human loved one.
So true, though. Very, very true. And these are things sometimes, I guess, like, oh, well, it's not human. We seem to forget that, no, actually, the relationship is actually much, much closer. Coming back to full circle to talking about how pets connect with children, extremely, extremely close. And so this is a beautiful story, beautiful story. What wonderful recipes would you like to share with our listeners this morning?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me that. So I started thinking about what recipes for living did I get from Chicken Soup for the Soul, me and my cat. And I decided that we should be more like a cat. And so one thing that the book reminded me of is that no matter what happens to you, there's this incredible inner strength that you didn't even know that you had. So you can summon that strength and survive traumas, you know, much better than you imagined you ever could. I mean, that happens all the time, right? You're like, I cannot believe I went through that. Because you just didn't know how much inner strength you have. Like I was thinking about that story about the little kitten that was burned when it was in that garbage dump that, you know, caught on fire. So I was thinking about the fact that you should remember that inner strength is always in there waiting for you to need it. And then another lesson I got is, and it really was from that same little cat, was that it's always worth engaging in the fight to come back from that trauma. And then also, and you see this a lot in pets, don't dwell on the past. Like, it's in the past. That's where it belongs. Move forward from here. You see that all the time with cats adopted from shelters. They could be dwelling on whatever awful things went on in their past that caused them to end up in the shelter, but instead, they embrace their new situation in life and they make the most of it. And then another thing that I learned was to look past first impressions, because often we see stories about people seeing a cat that, you know, is supposed to be grumpy or mean or hates people or, you know, a person who doesn't like cats, whatever it is. And of course, if they just give it a little bit of time and get past that first impression, they realize there's so much more there than they realize, and they completely change their minds.
So true. So true. That's beautiful. Amy, thank you for the great recipes for living and for spending this morning with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, please join me next Wednesday morning, April 24th at 10 a.m. Central Time, U.S. Amy Newmark will be back for our kitchen table conversation to talk about their awesome new release just in time for the upcoming Mother's Day celebration, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mothers and Daughters. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchenTalkRadio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. As always, Amy, it's been a true pleasure. Thank you again and have a very blessed day.
Thanks so much, Johnny.
Thank you. Bye-bye.